It's a joy for us to welcome our Facebook and radio audience at this time. Thank you for joining us, and we pray that this will be a very blessed day for you too, as we seek the Lord's glory, as we look in hopefully into the face of the Lord God and listen to His voice this day. I was deeply humbled last Sunday morning in this service at the number of people who came forward to pray. We pray that as we come to the service today, we may see His glory, that we may look into the face of the Lord God and see the wonder of who He is. We're going to turn over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 33, and beginning with verse 14. And you who are watching on Facebook, we ask that you join us too in the worship service and the studying of the Word of God. Let's stand together as we read from Exodus chapter 33 and verses 14 and following for the context of the message today. Exodus chapter 33 and verses 14 and following. Lord God is the one who is speaking. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And then he said to him, Moses said to him, if thy presence does not go with us, do not lead us from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight? I and your people, is it not by your going with us? And so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth. Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known your name. And Moses said, I pray, show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. And then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock, and I will come up, it will come about while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I'll take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see. And this is the reading of God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. And may He write these truths upon our hearts. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we just simply pray today, show us your glory. Show us your glory as we worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's a prayer of boldness on the part of Moses. Show me your glory. Have you been praying that prayer as you enter into the worship service this morning? Lord, show me the glory. Have you been praying that this week as you have pondered and thought about the glory of God and the passion of Jesus Christ? Moses saw the glory of God. And in fact, we see a number of tokens of the glory of God in the life of Moses, and just to quote a few of them, not all of them, of course, Moses would be the only prophet who knew the face of God, who saw him face to face in communion with him. Moses' first encounter with the glory of God was at the burning bush. That bush that flamed up and just would not go out. And as Moses draws near, that bush begins to talk to him. And it's the Lord God speaking and Lord God revealing himself as the I am who I am. And Moses never got away from that experience. Moses also experienced God's presence when the voice spoke to him and he watched the Lord God deal with Pharaoh and Egyptians in the plagues, and then that grand climax at the Passover when God redeemed Israel and destroyed the firstborn of Egypt. He experienced the glory of God and the Shekinah glory of God, that cloud that guided them out of Egypt and on the way to the promised land. He experienced God's glory when he saw the invisible hand of God part the waters of the Red Sea. Moses saw God provide manna and quail every day for 40 years until they went into the promised land. Moses saw the fire of God demonstrate his presence before the people of Israel. Moses was admitted into the very presence of the Lord God on that mountainside. For 40 days he dwelled in the presence of God, and God provided for him the Ten Commandments. Moses worshiped the Lord God. And then as he comes down from the mountainside, 4 to 6 million people in the valley, and there's a roar, the sound that comes up into his ears. And as he listens, the Israeli Mardi Gras is taking place. And all of a sudden, there's a sound of depravity, of a people worshiping God in a way in which God said, you don't worship me in this manner. Moses takes the tablets, crashes them to the ground, and breaks them to pieces. The covenant has been broken. Tragedy of tragedy occurs, and Moses descends from the mountain, and the people are worshiping this golden altar that they have made, a golden calf that they worship. Moses, in this rich experience of worshiping the Lord God, sees the radical depravity of the Jewish people. Moses will need this experience. Moses has been leading them for a year. And now all of a sudden there is that sense of these are the people that he's going to lead for the next 39 years. He's going to need God's special presence with him as he leads this rebellious, sinful, faithless people. Turn with you in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 through 9, and we see how God uses Moses to restore the covenant with his people, and how God speaks to him in a fresh new way. Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. And now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp. This is a tent of meeting. This is not the tabernacle. The tabernacle has not been constructed yet. And this is an old tent of meeting, as he calls it. And outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about that whenever Moses went out to the tent and all the people would arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered into the tent. And whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. Here is this intimate communication going on between Yahweh and Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would stand and worship, each at the entrance of his own tent. And so the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. And when Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Moses. Here's Moses. And in the passage that follows, is Moses is interceding on behalf of these people to the Lord God. Israel had worship in a way that was forbidden for the Jewish people. And therefore God spoke his judgment to Moses. In chapter 32 and chapter 33, we see this intercession that's taking place as his pleads with God for his people. And one thing that stands out in this passage, the Lord God says, "Now I'll give you the promised land, but not my presence." And later on in the history of Israel, we see how tragic this is when they rebel toward the Lord God. "I'll give you the promised land, but not my presence." In Exodus chapter 33, the great theme is the presence of the Lord God and the way the Lord God deals with his people. Verses 1 through 11 contemplates the people of God experiencing his blessings without his presence. And then in verses 12 and following, the mediator is utterly dissatisfied with what's taking place, and Moses pleads with God. For us to have the lamb without the promiser is a curse. And in this experience, we find that Moses discovers how forgiving the Lord God is. The Lord restores his covenant with his people. The Lord says, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." And that's in response to the pleading of Moses as he prays for his people. And Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, does not lead us from here, for how then can it be known that I have found favor with you? And I and your people, is it not by your going with us, and so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other peoples on the face of the earth?" What was the one thing that stood out that made the difference between the people of Israel and all the other nations? It was the presence of the Lord God. That's the only answer. And as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to remind ourselves this great truth, that which makes us different from the rest of the world is Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's the only thing that separates us from the rest of Dixie. That's the only thing that separates us from the rest of the United States. That's what separates us from the rest of the world. It's the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ living and dwelling with his believers. And that should cause a radical change within our lives and those with whom we communicate. In this passage, we're reminded that Jesus is our mediator. Moses interceding for the people of Israel foreshadows Jesus, the mediator. with his heavenly Father. The Father knows Jesus face to face because he is the unique, only one of a kind Son. And there's this intimacy between the Father and the Son as he intercedes on our behalf, even right now, this very moment. And the Father declared, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And there's this mediation that takes place even right now, this very moment for us. God restored the relationship with Israel. And Moses continues in his prayer. Look at verses 17 through 19. Exodus chapter 33, verses 17 to 19. And the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name." And then this beautiful prayer of Moses, almost as he shouts out to the Lord God, "Please, please, show me your glory." And he said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious and show compassion to whom I show compassion. Show me your glory." Moses uses a beautiful Hebrew word, kabod, meaning that which is heavy, and that which is weighty. It describes the infinite weightiness of the Lord God. The glory of Yahweh reflects the totality, the substance of all of his divine attributes. It refers to his power, to his holiness. In this word is described the character of the Lord God. And with this word, kabod, we see his holiness, his righteousness, his wrath, the sovereignty, omnipotence, omniscience, his omnipresence, his steadfast tender mercies, his grace and mercy, and love. All comes together when we think, "Lord, show me your glory." All of the attributes of God are expressed in this word. And God's glory in the Old Testament usually appears in a bright light, in a burning fire. And that cloud protects the eyes from the beholder. It both reveals as well as conceals the presence of the Lord God. And you say, "Wait a minute, Will. God has been showing Moses his glory ever since that day back in the Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush." And yet Moses comes and prays, "Show me your glory." And it seems almost that God, he's calling on God to reveal not only the essence of his glory and his character, but also to come again. And take me back to that manifestation at the burning bush when you called me to service. Keep in mind what Moses' task is. For the next 39 years, he will lead 4-6 million slaves toward the promised land. All these people in rebellion against the Lord God, and it becomes a task of Moses to lead them. There have been special occasions in my life when the Holy Spirit has suddenly and clearly brought me back to that day when he called me to ministry. Those days are precious. They're reassuring. And they're usually when he's preparing for another opening or a special ministry. And those are precious moments when he shows us where he's at work and that he is inviting us to come and join him in what he's doing. It's good for us as believers, as Christians, to go back and reflect over and over, especially in those moments of our lives when we're tempted to doubt God's goodness in our dealings with him, and when he does things that are inscrutable, that when he does things that breaks our hearts, and when he takes away that which is most precious to us, when it seems to us he gives us a stone instead of food. And that's when we must remember his marvelous revelation. I make myself known. I make myself known in my goodness. I'll make my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and show compassion to whom I show compassion. I am gracious. I am merciful. I am gracious in your life as well. My presence shall go with you, and I'll give you peace. You have experienced that. I've experienced it again and again in my life as a believer. And God reveals himself and meets us in grace in our greatest needs as believers of Jesus Christ. Verse 19 tells us, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And this is God preaching to Moses. The Lord God is the one who proclaims. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And God is the preacher. And God is saying to Moses, I'm going to preach my name. I'm going to preach my character to you, my attributes to you, my nature to you. I'm going to reveal myself to you, Moses. Lord God is sovereign. We can never complain about the way he administers his justice. And we can never claim that his mercy for us is based upon something in us. Because he says, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. His justice is always deserved. His grace is never deserved. And we come into his presence and we fall down on our faces before him. And even as Moses, show me your glory, Lord. And whatever Moses saw of God's holy nature was transformed into blazing glory, that bright light described as God's back. It's the afterglow. It's the afterglow of the presence of the Lord God. In verse 20, he tells us, you cannot see my face, for mankind shall not see me and live. Face of God? The face of God represents his glory. Remember, God does not have a literal face. Mark that thing down, okay? He's spirit. Neither does he have arms and legs and teeth and hands and other body parts. Be careful what you watch on YouTube. Be careful what books you read from individuals who give their testimony and say, I was carried up into heaven, I saw God. Eat the watermelon and spit out the seeds, okay? Think. The evangelical church, the Baptist church in our day, doesn't think. And we need to think when we see things like that. The scriptures use anthropomorphic expressions to teach us the finite minds about the infinite God. And he uses elementary terms so that we can understand. He brings it down to our level so we can understand who he is. The scriptures remind us over and over again of that the Lord God is a thrice holy God. Isaiah cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Paul tells us and reminds us that we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, he says, "And now we see in a mirror dimly. Ah, but one day we shall see him face to face." We have entered into a greater revelation through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man shall see God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And Jesus is himself the fullness of the Godhead. He's the image of the invisible God. The Lord God, who is invisible to mortal eyes, has become visible in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. In him we see the brightness of the Father's glory, the express image of his person. And then we think about that prayer of Jesus, praying for us. In John chapter 17, verses 19 through 21, the mediator praying that we might behold his glory forever. What a day that's going to be. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 becomes more and more precious to me every day that follows. That God enables those whom he has called to see his glory. Has he put that greater desire within your heart today for a deeper intimacy with God? After looking at this marvelous passion for the Lord Jesus Christ last Sunday, have you come back again and again this week praying, "Oh God, that I have a more intimate desire to know you, a deeper experience with you. Show me your glory, Lord." Did you walk into the worship service this morning saying, "Lord, show me your glory"? Have you been praying this week? "Oh, Lord God, show me your glory in the person of Jesus Christ." Moses has spent 40 days in that cloud communing with God. And the glory we receive, looking to the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, we offer it back up to him in praise and adoration to him. God's saints are those who press nearer and nearer into the sweet fellowship of the Lord God. And by believing him, we rejoice with joy unspeakable. By believing in him, we rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of grace. Because it's in the gospel we see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen his glory. Reflect back on those moments for a few minutes about the times when you have seen the glory of the Lord God. We have seen the glory of God as we dig deeper into the Word of God. And we have seen the glory of God in Jesus Christ, and in that moment we were born again. In that moment that spiritual regeneration took place. And there's the glory of the Lord God and the change that takes place within us. We've seen the glory of God in the atonement. We have seen the glory of God in the precious blood of Jesus that washes us from all of our sins. And we have seen him to be faithful in the forgiveness of our sins. With each subsequent view of his glory, we grow in the work of sanctification. We see the glory of God in our lives as He takes and transforms us and changes us daily into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the glory of God. We have seen Him be the one who is just and the justifier of sinful men. We have seen Him faithful. We have looked into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ in the way He works in our ministries. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. We've seen Him faithfully in His divine presence when we see that I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. It's the glory of God. That's God working in your life. And that's when we come into His presence and realize, Lord, it's all what You're doing, not me. And we gaze upon the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege is ours as believers of Jesus Christ. You want to change life? You want to see the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ? You want to grow His grace and likeness? It begins with the holy desire to see His glory. It begins when we realize our need and we cry out to God, show me Your glory, Lord. I can't do what You have chosen me to do unless I see Your glory. And that's that transforming moment that changes our ministries. And though it's when we know that Lord God is the one who's in control, it begins with that holy desire to see His glory and to see that glory work itself out in our lives. Show me the glory, Lord. Contemplate Him. Love Him. Think about Him. Let the pure face of Christ shine in your heart. Let Him be formed in you. And when we allow Him to be formed in us, there's a change that takes place. Turning your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Best commentary on this passage of Scripture in Exodus 33 is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Paul is speaking, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Yes, we've seen the glory of God. We all, with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We come with unveiled faces. Not like old Moses who took off the veil when he went into the presence of the Lord, and as he left the tent, he put the veil back on his face. That went on for 40 years. And Paul says, we're not like that. We enter into His presence without the veil. Oh, how many veils we put on. We mask ourselves before the Lord God. Paul says, no way. We come into His presence with unveiled faces. As we gaze into His face, He makes a change in our lives. The only change that will impact the world about us. Growing, deepening knowledge of God's glory will ignite our hearts with a blazing passion for Jesus Christ. O. F. B. Meyer put it this way. the glory of Christ and the glory of Moses. The difference between Moses and Christ lies here. And when Moses saw the glory and reflected it, it was only skin deep, and it dried away upon his face. In the case of Jesus, the glory did not come from without, but from within. It welled up in fountains and cascades and issued forth from every pore of the body of his humiliation. You may look upon Jesus from the outside and only get a transient likeness, while if you have fellowship with him and he is formed in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be transfigured, beginning from the spirit and passing thence the soul and the body. And this is perhaps the deepest thought. Dwelling in the presence of him. And we know that growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is a gradual process. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen when we have some emotional experience. It's that daily dwelling in his presence. We're changed from glory to glory. As we dwell in his presence. Have you already cried out to God in this worship service this morning, show me your glory? Show me your glory. He'll answer it. Are you afraid of praying that prayer? Are you afraid of the responsibilities that come along with praying such a prayer? There'll be changes. You can't enter into the glory of the Lord God and not have changes and not face responsibilities. Are you willing to test the waters? Are you willing to come before him? Show me your glory. Show me your face. And for those who are watching on Facebook and listening on the radio, this becomes your decision as well. Yes, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Will you ask him to show you his glory? Perhaps to show you his glory in regeneration, the new birth, coming to know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Or it may be coming and asking him, Lord, I need to grow. I need discipleship. I need to come in your presence. And Lord, do something in my life that will radically change me as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Show me. Show me your glory, Lord. And our gracious Heavenly Father, that's our prayer today. That as a congregation, as a people, as individuals, show me your glory, Lord. Show me the responsibilities that go with that glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.